Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
So welcome. This is Gretchen Hochmeister from the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, and I'm joined by Tammy Gaskell from Rojan Library, and we are going to talk about back to school today, what our libraries do for after-school programs, things we do perhaps with homeschooled families, and other things for children now that we're heading back to school. So Tammy, why don't you start us off by telling us what your library is doing in conjunction with schools and back to school.
Sure. So because of our location, we serve the towns of Hillsdale, Copaic, and Ankrum in southeastern Columbia County, and we're a very rural area, and we are not a walkable library. So the children can't walk to our library after school. So as a result, we don't get a lot of children after school because their parents are working and they need their parents to drive them. So instead, what we have focused on is more, we have a homeschool program. Last year, we were doing it every week. This year, we've decided to do it once a month. We call it Adventure Wednesdays, and they are going to a different site every month. So it's kind of a field trip every month for the children. This month in September, we went to the Copaic Ironworks at Taconic State Park. And next month in October 16th, they'll be visiting the Martin Van Buren National Historic Site in Kinderhook. So the idea is just to get them out and around the county and the region, learning history, science, nature, a variety of topics. So we're partnering with other organizations on this.
That's great. Do you have a lot of homeschoolers in your
it's
population?
They're not all residents of our service areas that attend. We get them from a pretty wide area, but the program has been growing in size. I think we have some new families this year that attended last week. So I don't know. It can vary from maybe 12 to 15 kids.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So what do you do? Do you have any homeschool families or programs for homeschool families?
We do not currently. Over the years, we've had a few here and there that we've certainly gotten a lot of books for, special book requests, and they've used our spaces for certain things, but we don't have an organized group, and I honestly haven't heard of many in the last few years here in Sharon, although I'm certain they're out there, and if they're listening, I hope they will come in and let us know how we can certainly help them
sure.
and serve their
yeah.
needs.
Yeah, libraries are great resources for homeschool families.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We are located right in the middle of a town, unlike you, and there is a sidewalk that connects us, throughout town. So it's probably a little over a little, I don't know, less than half a mile, maybe closer to a quarter of a mile from us to the school. But what we find is most successful, actually, is that we go into the school. And so our wonderful children's librarian, Ms. Renee, visits the school many classrooms on a regular basis, particularly up to about fifth grade. And they have ongoing projects with her. And she runs an after-school program on Wednesday afternoon. She has a book club for younger kids from grades kindergarten through two on Wednesday afternoons. We have a real need for after-school care here in Sharon. The school does not have a regular program this year for working families that need activities for their kids. So we're trying to help them fill that need in whatever small way we can. And she also visits our daycare. We have a very vibrant daycare that's located in the school, which is a separate nonprofit called Sharon Daycare. And she's there every week with the little ones. And the four-year-olds actually walk to the library. That's a special privilege they have with their teachers once they reach the four-year-old group. And they come to the library, once or twice a month and have a special story time here and can find out books and also do an activity with her. So that's really nice.
That's great.
Do you do anything going into the schools?
We do, but it's in a way. We go to the school. We're in the Taconic Hills School District, which covers many, many towns. I think there's 11 towns.
Yeah. Wow.
But their Head Start, there's a Head Start classroom in the school, and we go to Head Start classrooms once a month, do a special story time and activity with them, and we also provide them with books every month. So each kid gets a new book so that they're building up their at-home library, which otherwise many of these kids don't have a lot of books in their homes. So
that's terrific.
We helped preparing them for school in that way.
Absolutely.
We have worked with the school in the past on things like a community read, and we don't have any plans for such a thing at the moment, but we've usually done those in the spring, so we'll see. We might try to do that again. Mostly we're working with the school as far as providing tutors. We have a large senior population in our area, many of whom are former educators, very interested in educating and working with the students. So we have tutors both at the library, but we are working with Hillsdale has what they call a Safe at Home Committee, which is focused on senior issues and staying home, you know, being able to age in place. But they're a very active group, and they are interested in tutoring in the school, not at the library, but we are helping to recruit tutors for that program.
That's terrific to get all aspects of the population involved. That's really wonderful. The intergenerational aspect of that is great. It's really interesting to hear the different things that our libraries are doing. You know, it's a whole wide gamut of things. Great. Well, I know you also have activities for preschoolers in your library, just like we do, story times, and we're starting a new toddler music group for babies through age 5 this coming Friday, a week from tomorrow, the 4th, which will be exciting. So we serve the whole gamut, don't we? The whole age range. That's great. So why don't we move on then and talk about what books are popular right now at your library, Tammy?
Well, for the last few months now, I guess the most popular book continues to be Liz Moore's The God of the Woods, which is set in the Adirondacks, and it's based on the story of a 13-year-old girl who was missing from a summer camp owned by her family, and it looks at the dynamics of the wealthy family who owns the camp and the working class community where it is situated. But also popular now is Miranda July's, also All Fours. This is a story of a middle-aged, 45-year-old female artist who is maybe struggling with midlife crisis a bit. She feels a bit stuck in her marriage, and she leaves on a cross-country trip and ends up in a cheap hotel room where she begins a very different journey of discovery of herself, reclaiming her freedom and embracing her desires, and comes to terms with her aging body. So that's also very popular right now, as well as the nonfiction book by Doris Kern Goodwin, An Unfinished Love Story, A Personal History of the 1960s, which is historian Goodwin's tribute to her late husband, Richard Goodwin, who was a speechwriter for JFK and Lyndon Johnson. And it's a reflection on the Kennedy and Johnson eras, as well as so it's a bit memoir and a bit history. So those are the popular books in our library. What about in your library, Kristen?
Those same ones are popular here as well. And I have to say, Kristen Hannah's The Women is still, as soon as
still
it comes back,
there.
Yeah. I'm still flying out the door. There's still a long list for that one. But I thought I would mention, since it's fall, the books that people have been talking about that are just coming in this week and next month and into November. Fall is traditionally, you know, the biggest publishing season of the year. I had read earlier in the year that it wasn't going to be this year because of the election, that the publishers were worried that the election would take people away from books. But I don't know. I've been doing my book order for the fall, and there are so many great writers who have things coming out. Elizabeth Strout's new book, Tell Me Everything, that returns to characters we all know from her novels set in Maine, including Olive Kittredge, makes an appearance in this book also. That came out a week or two ago. We have just this Tuesday, it was all over the the book verse online, Sally Rooney, the millennial Irish writer, her new novel Intermezzo's out, and there were even midnight launch parties at bookstores for this book, similar to what they did for Harry Potter many years ago. So there's a lot of talk about that. There, I'm very excited. Next week, I think, or the week after, is Jean Hance Korolitz's pub date for her new book, The Sequel, which is actually a sequel to her last book, The Plot, which is sort of a thriller set in the publishing world. And The Plot was a great book. I don't know if you've ever read her, but her books are terrific. There's also a new Louise Erdrich, which also always gets me excited, called The Mighty Red, coming. And, of course, everyone on my staff can't wait to get their hands on the new Louise Penny book at the end of October called Grey Wolf. I even have a staff member who's in Quebec right now and just texted me that she was near where Three Pines is alleged to have been based on. So we have a very Louise Penny heavy readership here. So that's already been ordered. A new Richard Powers book just came out. A new Richard Price book is coming out. There's an Al Pacino memoir. There's a another Hillary Clinton book. So there's all kinds of stuff to look forward to in the next month or so. Lots of things to read. What have you read lately that you really like?
So I recently finished, this is a book from last year, 2023, Ron Rash, The Caretaker. It's a short book, but it's a very beautiful, interesting story. It takes place in a small town in Appalachia during the Korean War. The caretaker is a young man who's the caretaker of a local cemetery, a role he accepted after suffering polio as a child, and sort of which led him to withdraw from society. He also becomes, in a way, the caretaker for the wife of his best friend, best and only friend, I should say, when his friend is drafted, since his friend became estranged from his family when he married. So the book is an examination of their friendship, male friendships and rivalries, of family, and of the destructive things we do and justify in the name of love. As I said, it's a short read, but I think one people might find interesting.
Oh, that sounds good. Really good. I also just read a very short but very powerful book called Small Country by Gail Faye, F-A-Y-E. And he is a Burundian, Rwandan, French hip-hop artist who wrote this novel in French that won the Prix Goncourt a few years ago, which is France's biggest literary prize. And he... it sort of upset the whole publishing world and book scene there, that an unknown, you know, he was known for his music, but certainly not for his writing. And it's a, you know, an autofiction, a novel, but based closely on his own life growing up in the 80s in Burundi to a French father and a Rwandan mother. And it's sort of the, you know, it's a very, you know, very, very difficult book because it's seeing the Rwandan genocide that spills over into Burundi across the border through a child's eyes and what it does to his family. And it's very small, very brief, but very, very powerful. And we read it in conjunction with a book group that's moderated by Mark Scarborough, who's a popular book group facilitator and literary scholar here in Northwest Connecticut. And we're doing a series on international bestsellers that weren't necessarily well-known here. So we were all really happy to discover something we otherwise wouldn't have known about. So I recommend it again. It's called Small Country. And what events do you have coming up in Hillsdale that you'd like to let us know about, Tammy?
Well, we've got a busy weekend this weekend. On Saturday, we're having what I hope is our second annual repair cafe. We had a very successful one a year ago. People wanted us to do it multiple times a year, but it's a big project, and we're doing another one this year. So this is an opportunity for people to bring their items that need to be repaired rather than thrown away. Mending, lamp repair, knife sharpening, small appliances, bicycles, We're moving it to the Copaig Park building this year. It was at the library last year, but it really wasn't big enough, so we were going to a bigger space this year. Then on Sunday, we have a fun concert. We have the Crow Ensemble. It's a bassoon quartet, and they play everything from classical to ragtime to contemporary music. So it's a fun group. We've had them in the past, and we're looking forward to them again. And then next week, we have a film screening of a documentary called Hudson America. It's focused on, there's a large Bangladeshi community in Hudson, and this documentary looks at the lives of a number of teenagers from 2016, just before the 2016 election, through COVID and going to college, and what the experience of being part of that immigrant community during that period was like. And then the following day, we have another program, Putting Your Garden to Bed. You know, it's that time of year when you're trying to clean up the yard and the gardens, and this is some tips on how to do that most effectively. I'm sure you have a number of things going on as well, Gretchen.
They do, and I'm going to call you separately someday to learn about how you put that repair cafe together. That sounds like a great idea, and I'm sure it's a lot of work to find all those people to help you out. Yeah, but it sounds like something we'd love to do as well. We have a busy schedule as well. Fall always gets busy. And we have a book talk and signing this Sunday, the 29th of September at 4 p.m. with Michael Korda. He will be discussing his most recent book, Muse of Fire, which is about the soldier poets of World War I. Again, that will be at 4 p.m. And we invite everybody to come out and hear him. As I mentioned earlier, our Music for Young Children series will begin on Friday, October 4th at 10:45. That does require pre-registration on our website if somebody is interested in signing up for that series for kids from age 0 to 5. And on Tuesday, October 8th, we will at 5:30 p.m., we will have a workshop on how to make your own Advent calendar, which will supply a pattern and instructions on how you can go out and get your materials and make a really beautiful cloth Advent calendar for your family. And then on Friday, October 11th, from 11 to 12:30, we will have a lunch and learn session. We'll be providing lunch, and we will have a speaker here talking about preparing for Medicare open enrollment. So those are the things on the horizon for us.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.